بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Someone requested his sheikh to teach him the Ism-e-Azam, the name of Allah Ta'ala through which du'as are answered. That is the desire, the wish of every person. My dua must be answered. Whether it is a pious person or it's an impious person, everybody wishes the same, that the duas get answered. In principle, every dua Allah Ta'ala answers. There isn't a dua that is rejected. But then there are some procedures in the acceptance of the dua. And each person will get his dua answered in a different way. Some of the reasons are known to us why duas are not answered in the same way. And some answers are known best to Allah Ta'ala. And when it's best known to Allah Ta'ala, then it's useless prying into it. Why is this like this? Why is this not like this? That is the entity of Allah Ta'ala. And يَفْعَلُ مَا يُرِيدُ, He does as He pleases. As servants, we need to understand our place. Our place is that we are servants. And as servants, and we just keep to our place. You know, everything looks nice when it's in its place. A woman will look nice if she's at home. She's covered well. She's managing the affairs at home. Then she looks well. But when she's strewn outside the streets or in the malls and the halls, then she won't look nice. Like, see, the person has got nice, healthy hair. Black, dark, nice, healthy hair he's got. A nice complexion he's got. So he's got a nice skin and healthy hair. So if that hair and that skin is in its place, it looks very beautiful, right? There isn't anything that will look as beautiful as that person with that hair and that skin, provided that the hair and the skin is in its place. So it adds to the beauty of the person. People keep on admiring the person. It's a woman, and you keep on admiring that person, right? But that same hair and the skin, if it's pulled out and left aside, now there isn't anything as ugly as that. You feel very bilious about it, say, bury it, don't want to see the thing. So everything in its place, it would look nice. But removed from its place, then it doesn't have that appeal, it doesn't have that beauty. So, one is the department of Allah Ta'ala. When it's His department, then what looks nice is that we just say that this is Allah Ta'ala's and He will do as He pleases. Why is there only one sun, no two suns? Why is there only one moon, not 20 moons? Now, if you were to pry into this and you're going to try to find out and investigate, you're not going to get anything out of it. Because it's the design of Allah Ta'ala. And I was in Makkah Mukarrama once, you know. Just did a tawaf and all that and came up many years ago. Maybe 79 or somewhere around there, or 80. So there was one doctor around. So the doctor is asking, why is there seven circuits in one tawaf? So I asked him, why is there 24 hours in one day? مَا هُوَ جَوَابُكُمْ فَهُوَ جَوَابُنَا. What's your answer? Why isn't there 25 hours? Why isn't there 30 hours in one day? Right. So now these things are not to be asked because it's not something that we can investigate and find any type of conclusive answer. If someone says, for example, there is seven circuits because there are seven heavens. So then why is there are seven heavens? You understand that the Shab al-Qadr is most likely on the 27th night. Why? Because there are seven heavens. So therefore, it's most likely supposed to be in the 27th night, right? But then I will ask you again, then why is there seven heavens? So the silsila won't come to an end. The whole chain doesn't come to an end. Just stop it there. But this is Allah's prerogative, His design. If it was, for example, that Shab al-Qadr was coming on the 23rd, then you would have asked again, why does it come on the 23rd? Or, for example, then you would have asked, why doesn't it come anyway in the month? Why does it come on one night only? So this type of a silsila will continue and continue and continue. The right thing for the servant is he must understand his place. When he understands his place, then he looks beautiful. But if he doesn't understand his place, then he doesn't look as beautiful. Right? The traffic officer, he looks beautiful and respected in his place. Right? If he leaves his place, the traffic officer leaves his place, and he tries to guide people in a shopping mall. Right? So, but we don't respect you any longer. You're not in your place. In your place, we will respect you. Out of your place, we will not respect you. So, everything, when it's in its place, then it looks beautiful. We are servants of Allah Ta'ala, and we need to understand, accept, acknowledge that we are His servants. And we need to understand and accept and acknowledge that He is the Master. The Master's duty is to instruct, and the servant's work is to accept. Kalas, end of the story. He's instructed, and I am doing it. Now to go further into it, why did he ask me to do this, and why did he ask me? There won't be any end to this. Then you'll ask, all right, why is there four rakats, and why Asr Namaz is rest softly, and why the second two rakats only read Surah Fatiha? So this question will carry on, and you won't come to any end. Someone will answer, and there'll be a counter answer to it. There'll be a reason, and there'll be a counter reason to it. So the simple thing is, abhimu ma abhamahu Allah. What Allah Ta'ala has concealed, then leave it concealed. That is why our Buzuganadin don't even like those that deliberately try and look into the qabr, kashf kubur, but they go and deliberately look on what's going in the qabr. Right? For multiple reasons. One is that Shaitan can also confuse you. He can make you think that this is what's happening to the mayyat inside the qabr, right? And then you believe it to be true. So meanwhile, it is the deception of Shaitan, and you begin to feel, see, I'm seeing the qabr, what's going on there, right? And number two, if it was meant to be exposed, Allah Ta'ala would have exposed it. He has concealed it, so leave it concealed. You don't pry into that business. That is not for you to get into. So, abhimu ma abhamahu Allah. What Allah Ta'ala has concealed, what He's blocked away, then leave it blocked away. It looks beautiful in that way. That is why Mujaddid Al-Fasani rahmatullah alayhi used to say that trying to investigate the reasoning behind the command really is an understanding, it's an indication that the person is not a true mu'min. When you're trying to explore and investigate the reasoning behind the command, then it's an indication that your iman is not right. Because if your iman was right, then you would have been true in your love, you would have been true in your loyalty, you would have been true in your allegiance to Allah Ta'ala. Then you're just waiting for His command. He said, do it, and then it's done. From the Baytul Muqaddas, turn towards the Baytullah. It's done. Then I won't ask Allah, you know, but why, you know, Baytul Muqaddas? And I won't ask those questions. It is just a matter of me waiting for His command. I'm waiting for His command. His command must come, and I'm waiting to execute it. Now, there is beauty. And also on the side of Allah Ta'ala, there's appreciation. Okay, see this banda of mine, he just waits for a command, and once he receives a command, he's accomplished it. He doesn't need any other further explanation. He just wants me to command him, that's all. So isn't there beauty in that? It's like your worker, so you told him, just cut the grass, right? So he just waits for your command, and he's done it. Now he asks your boss, you asked me to cut the grass. Is this the right thing to do? And why should I cut the grass? And you know, it's the creation of Allah Ta'ala. The grass is the creation of Allah Ta'ala. How long it takes to grow, you know. And one shot, you just take a bush knife and start bushing everything, cutting it up. Does it look right, boss? So do you think what you're asking me is the right thing? So the boss doesn't appreciate this. He doesn't appreciate this type of a questioning. Maybe he gives you one answer, but after that he will tell you, bye. Just leave that. You want to do the job, you do the job, or else you go somewhere else. Won't he tell you that much? Or let us look at it even more personally. Right? You've got a worker that's come to work in your place, right? So the worker says to you, I want to know where's your vault, you know, where you keep all your valuables. I want to know how it looks like, where the key is, how the key is and all that. And even more than that, you know, king, he's talking to the king now, that, you know, you asked me to do all this work, yes, I'll do the work, but I want to see all the princesses, I want to see the private rooms, the areas, and their faces uncovered, I want to see all that. What he will do? Give you two kicks and chase you away, right? Because this is private, he kept it concealed, right? Had he wanted to expose it, he would have exposed it, but the fact that he's concealed it, you also keep it concealed. So these are the private areas of Allah Ta'ala. Tilka hududullah is a private area of Allah Ta'ala, just leave it. Don't get into it. You'll go well into it, you won't have problems, you won't have any complications. But the moment you got to try, you're going to explore and investigate these private areas, you will create a problem for yourself. Because beyond one reason, there'll be another reason. And beyond the second reason, there'll be a third reason, there'll be counter reasoning. There'll be no end to it. Someone asked, for example, photography, why is photography haram? So, the simple reasoning is to say that this is something that is stopped by Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala has put an end to it, finished. Now you try and give him an answer that no, this will lead to, or this leads to idolatry. So if he tells you, but if there is no fear of idolatry, then so the easiest thing is to say that this is the command of Allah Ta'ala. Right? Right? Like for example, you ask the person, or he asks you, that why is zina haram? Why is fornication haram? Right? So you can't give a logical reason behind it. And someone attempts to give a logical reason, you say, all right, if there wasn't a thing like marriage and nikah, then nobody would assume responsibility for the children. For the children that are born thereafter, for the offsprings, there's not going to be any father to assume responsibility. So for example now,